Well, it's now our privilege, friends, to listen to our speaker, Mr. John Solomon's lecture entitled, Does God Have a Purpose with This Earth? John, please.
Just getting this all going here. Well, good evening. I'm actually going to finish the two more verses, which I forgot to tell our presider. Just continuing in chapter 2, and in just the first two verses. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all that his work that he had made. Well, good evening, friends. Our subject tonight poses a question. Does God have a purpose with this earth? I would say with confidence that God absolutely does have a plan and purpose with this earth. If you read the Bible from the book of Genesis all the way through Revelation, you'll see that God is showing us that he does have a plan and purpose with this earth. In our reading tonight, God gives us the beginning of what his purpose is with the earth. What is God's purpose with this earth? We're given a little shadow of that in Numbers 14, verse 21. This verse speaks of God, where it reads, But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. In a reading tonight in Genesis, we see that after God had completed the creation, at that time, it was filled with God's glory. In fact, everything then was good. Now, it's a safe thing to say right now that this world does not reflect God's glory. In fact, it's the exact opposite. But friends, there will come a day when the earth will be once again filled with God's glory, and this is what we will explore tonight. Before we move on, I want to step back and ask you to think about something that you have done. Did you plan something to fulfill a purpose? Perhaps some of us have built a house or gone through a renovation. The purpose of doing those things is perhaps make the room for a growing family or fix something that was damaged. It may have been for several reasons, but whatever the reason was, you had a purpose for doing it. For instance, if you're building a house, you need one to go to an architect or a designer. You need to pick a contractor or a builder. You need to design a set of plans that give detailed instructions on how to build it. Maybe you're required to go to the bank to get financing, then apply for permits and insurance. Finally, there is the actual physical work, site preparation, clearing trees, leveling the ground, soil preparation. And then once that's all done, you can start digging a hole and start laying a foundation. Once that is done, the rough framing can begin. The walls, the floors, the roof. And then there's the exterior finishes, shingles, siding, brick. The interior finishes can be done as well. While all those things are being done, the utilities, electrical, sewer, the water being connected to the building, you have the mechanical, plumbing, heating, and air conditioning. And along with all that, you have the city coming by to inspect to make sure everything is done correctly and up to code. Finally, the project is finished. The whole purpose you started with in the beginning has now been finished. Well, if that seemed a little daunting, or you can't really put into perspective something that large or a project that perhaps you can look around in your room right now, I'm sure no doubt that you have had to paint a room. Maybe the purpose of painting that room is to just make it look nice. Well, you have to plan out and make key steps even in just painting a room. First, you must pick the paint. Well, what kind of paint are you going to use? Are you going to use latex or oil? Even bigger question is, what color are you going to choose? Well, then you have the brushes. Do you choose the brush that has a nylon or polyester bristle? Brush angle, style, size of brush you're using. Now it's time to choose the roller. Many options here as well. Well, what size of roller are you going to pick? What size nap? Are you painting drywall, stucco, or brick? Now what kind of quality are you going to choose? Are you going to go down to the local dollar store, or are you going to a local specialty store to pick up the supplies? A lot of these decisions greatly impact the quality of your project. Just like us in making these decisions to make sure the end purpose is completed, God has done this as well. God has a plan that will ultimately bring about his purpose in filling the earth with his glory. Well, what is God's purpose with this earth? As we mentioned earlier, God created this earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he completed his work. Those 6 days are a shadow of God's timeline that he has with the earth. God has given us 6,000 years from the time he finished his work with creation to the time when he will send his son, Jesus, back to this earth and build a kingdom that will never be destroyed. How do we know that we can compare a six-day creation with 6,000-year plan that God has? Well, the Bible tells us God's perspective of time. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. In this chapter, we're given a bit of the history of events that happened in the past and a promise that has not yet been fully fulfilled. But we need to look at verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So we see that we can use 1,000 years to a day principle for this plan with this earth. What we have on the screen is a chart showing from the beginning of creation to the time when Jesus will return. It shows people and events from the Bible and dates of when those events occurred, and of a certain people that we find in the Bible and the times that are in God's timeline. What I want to do is just go through a few dates and show a few significant times, prophecies, and promises that were made throughout the history of the Bible. And sorry for the quality. Starting at 4000 BC, we can see that God had finished his creation. We can see the life of Adam and how long he lived for, and then key events that happened on the top of the screen. The first major event we have is the flood, where God looked down on the earth and found everyone was doing that which was right in his own eyes, not following God, except for Noah and his family. Noah and his family were saved when God gave instructions to build an ark so they could escape the destruction of the world. Following the flood, we have the events that took place at the Tower of Babel. The people rose to make a name for themselves. Because of this, God confused and scattered them throughout the earth and gave them each their own language. The next important event was that of Abraham, a man who was faithful and followed God. Because God saw faith in Abraham, God made promises to him. These promises can be found in Genesis chapter 12. Some of those promises were that Abraham would become a great nation, his name would be great throughout the earth, God would bless those that bless him and curse those that curse him, and in Abraham all nations of the earth would be blessed. Many of these promises were not fully completed when Abraham was alive. He was promised the land of Canaan, and yet he was a sojourner in the land. He never settled in the land of promise. In fact, when his family died, he went out and bought a parcel of land just so he could bury them. Next we have Moses, and he was the one that led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He spent 40 years wandering the wilderness before entering the land that was promised to them. So far we've been through 2,000 or so years. Well, coming to King David, and this is another individual that God made promises to. You can see these promises in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Some of these promises were that his kingdom and his throne would be established forever, and the kingdom would always be given to his descendants. Some of these promises were fulfilled, but not completely. The next event that would happen was prophesied. God sent many prophets to warn Israel, and this would happen if they left from following his commandments. God would send nations to take them away and remove them from their land. And this happened. Both Israel and Judah were taken captive by Assyria and Babylon. Next, we see an important event take place, and that is the birth of Jesus. Jesus is born, and in timeline, that would be a zero. From the beginning of creation to Jesus' birth would be about 4,000 years. We see on the timeline another important event that was prophesied by Jesus himself, and that was that Jerusalem would be destroyed. This happened in AD 70. Because of the destruction of the temple, the Romans taking over the land, the Israelites were scattered throughout the world and their land was taken. For almost 1900 years, Israel no longer had a land that they could call their own. Again, this was all prophesied. From AD 70 to when Jerusalem was destroyed, there was a time mentioned in the Bible called the times of the Gentiles. That is when the Gentiles ruled over the land of Israel. You can find that in Luke chapter 21. And this is a great chapter to look at for the history from AD 70 up until our time. 1948 was also a significant prophecy date. It was prophesied that the Israelites would once return to their land and call themselves a nation. Perhaps we have some of those in our audience tonight that are old enough to have witnessed that. Another prophecy that goes with this is that those that witnessed the birth of the Jewish state, it states that this generation will not die until Jesus returns to the earth. It has been 73 years since that event took place, and we also find in the Bible that God gave man a lifespan of 70 years. So we know that God must send his son soon to this earth. And finally, we see that Jesus comes back to judge the earth. And then there will be a kingdom age when Jesus will rule from Jerusalem. He will establish God's kingdom on this earth forever. We'll look at some more verses now to show this in the next few minutes. We have traveled very quickly through almost 6,000 years of the timeline in the Bible, just highlighting a few events that have taken place. We see that this corresponds to the creation. Just like God created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he completed that work. Just like God's timeline of 6,000 years, he has been working with individuals throughout history, and those 6,000 years are almost up. We are very near to the seventh day rest, like in creation. Well, we have seen a very broad overview of the last 6,000 years. God's timeline from the beginning of creation to when Jesus will return. Now we read in the Bible that God will set up an everlasting kingdom at the end of that 6,000 years. Now we're going to open our Bibles and see that God has given us answers to his purpose and to what the future of God's final plan and purpose will be here on the earth. So we're going to look at these questions. Where will it be located? Who will be king? What will the kingdom be like? Will there be an end to the kingdom? How do we become a citizen of that kingdom? There are many verses in the Bible that talk about these subjects. We're only going to look at a few verses. What we will look at are a few verses for each section. And I believe that these verses are straightforward and don't need any special interpretation to understand them. We'll begin by finding out where this kingdom and its capital will be located. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 17. This chapter is talking about the promises to those that are faithful and the children of Israel. And it reads, "At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil hearts." If we continue over to Micah chapter 4 and verses 1 through 2. And I've highlighted some of the key words found in these verses that we look at showing where his kingdom is located in its capital. So Micah 4 reads, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted over above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3 is very similar to Micah. So I think it's clear that God is telling us that his kingdom will be established on this earth, not in heaven, as many believe, which the Bible does not teach. God is always talking about the kingdom here on earth. In Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter of the faithful men and women, it talks about all those that have died, yet they never received the promises that were given them. Those promises can only be fulfilled if God raises them from the dead and sets up his kingdom here on earth. What we'll look at now, who will be king of this kingdom? These verses are going to show us that Jesus will return from heaven back to this earth. These verses will once again show to us that God's kingdom will be here on earth. Here in Acts, Jesus has ascended up to heaven, and his disciples are looking up into heaven when two men in white apparel stood by them, and they say, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And then turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33. So Luke 1 reads, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Here Mary has been visited by an angel, and she was told that she will have a son, and his name will be called Jesus. He would sit upon the throne of David, his father, and would reign over Israel forever. If we remember back to the promises that were made to David, this is when those promises of an everlasting king would start to come to pass. When Jesus was on this earth, he had the title King of the Jews, but he never reigned as king. So there must be a further fulfillment of this promise. We believe that this promise will happen soon. What will this kingdom be like? Well, this kingdom will be completely different than what is on this earth today. The prophet Isaiah tells us that there will be no more weeping or crying. There will be a length of days for people. God will extend people's lives. People will build houses, plant gardens, and vineyards, and live in them for a long time. People will call upon God, and God will answer. Certainly different than what we have today, where people don't call upon God. Isaiah 11, we see that the animal habits will change. A lion and the lamb will sit down together. The leopard will lay down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child will lead them. Certainly not what we can do today. The cow and the bear shall feed and lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Finally, in Revelation, we see that there will be no more crying or tears, no more death, no more pain. What a wonderful time this will be when we will once again see God's glory covering the earth, when people will once again call upon God and follow his ways. The verses that we have in front of us are now going to show us that there will never be an end to this kingdom God will set up on here on earth. In Daniel 2, we read that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He dreamed of an image of a man, which had a head of gold, the breast and the arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass. The legs were of iron, the feet were iron mixed with clay. And then there was a stone that came and destroyed this image. The interpretation of this dream is given in this chapter. Now I encourage you to explore this on your own. But it is that little stone that is important to us right now. That stone represents God's kingdom here on earth. In verse 44 of Daniel chapter 2, it reads, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another. but shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and shall stand forever. We see here that the kingdom of God will never be destroyed. The kingdom will never be left to another people, and it will rule over the kingdoms of the earth, and will stand forever. We see later in Daniel chapter 4 that even Nebuchadnezzar recognized that someday God would set up his kingdom, and it would last forever. Well, friends, in the last few minutes, we have seen that God's future kingdom will be set up here on this earth. Jesus will once again return and reign as a king of that kingdom. The kingdom will be nothing like this world we live in of wickedness, men's hearts failing them for fear, death, sickness. God will change all that. Finally, we see that this kingdom will be here forever. God has chosen this earth to show his glory to all those that believe and follow him. First kingdom to come. God has given us some very simple steps. Initially, we have to have faith that God can do what he promises. We can only get faith by reading God's word and finding out his character. Then we must have a belief of who God is. And finally, when we come to believe in him, we are required to be baptized. Baptized into the saving name of God. Finally, friends, I hope tonight that I've sparked your interest in the purpose that God has with this earth. God has promised each one of us a place in his kingdom. We must follow God's word that he is given to us in the Bible. And I encourage each one of you to continue reading God's word in these last days. So when Jesus returns, we may all have a place in his kingdom forever. Thank you.